Bible colleges and television, TBN this week. We've done a lot of things with all the crazy weather the last 10 days, actually. The Spirit of God has instructed me to share a teaching, an exhortation. I don't know what you'd call it, a message. But I want to call your attention to some scriptures this morning, and I want everyone, you've gone to the trouble to come out, you're here. I want you to understand why you are here and why God's happy that you're here and why eternity is going to yield the reason that God placed you with an on fire for God front line full of the Holy Ghost church that's doing something to reach people for Jesus. I want you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. And I'm not just taking time. Everything of all the messages or whatever I've tried to break, I believe I am so right. I know I am so right on course with what God wants me to share today. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Did you ever throw a slice of bread in the ocean and then go try to find it after a few days? You can do that in the kingdom of God. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil may be upon the earth. Boy, that's for sure today. You know, we can weep for the terrible things that have happened in America. I deplore the things that have happened in days gone by, but there's been a lot of good things that have happened. We just don't like to applaud that. Thank God for Abraham Lincoln, who was 1,000% for seeing freedom from slavery. And there's been some mighty men and women of God that have stood there. So there's a lot of evil in the land, but there's a lot of good in the land. And I'll tell you what, we need to start celebrating what's good about our land. While our dear brothers and sisters all over the world are having their heads cut off, and while they're burning them in cages. Folks, I'm not, you say, oh, don't get that negative. Get off of that, folks. That's not that far from us. That's just a few hours by plane from where we are right now. And the leaders of our nation just don't seem to see a problem in cutting Christians' heads off and burning them in cages. I do. I do. We need to talk about the injustices against Christianity. And I want you to pray right now. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters and across the land, across the waters. Lord, those that are literally, as it was in Hebrews 11, they're being sawed asunder. They're literally losing their heads. They're being mortared for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put into cages and set on fire because they will not renounce Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Bless those precious Christians in Egypt just a few days ago, who said, you can do what you have to do, but we will not renounce the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh God, help us to grow up in America. Help us to grow up. Help us to begin to be thankful for what we have and be ready to be stronger than ever before, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen and amen. Well, that's kind of what the next little while is going to be. I'm just going to do what pops up in my spirit. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil may be upon the earth. We don't know all the evil that's in the earth, but God does. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and the tree falls toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. Well, I think I better hold on to my money. I think I better hide everything, anything of value. He that observeth the wind, the farmer that observeth the wind will not sow. He says it just may be a drought this year. This may not be a good year to sow. When a farmer stops sowing, he's out of business. When a farmer stops sowing, a nation or a community is in a world of hurt. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, and how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning, are we in the morning, saints? Sow thy seed. And in the evening, you see, seed is money. Seed is value. Seed is silver and gold. Seed is what it takes to live. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether they both shall be alike. In the morning, sow your seed. And you say, well, I sowed this morning. Sow in the evening. Pray in the morning. Pray in the evening. Believe in the morning. Believe in the evening. Go to church one Sunday. Go to church the next Sunday. Witness one day. Witness again the next day. Keep on doing what God called you to do. Keep doing what God told you last. Keep on singing, John Hall. Keep on singing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And all the musicians, you've given your life for that, my dear brother. You've traveled all over the world. But you're going to be happy to know what I'm ministering this morning is. Your seed is not in vain. All the seeds you've planted are not in vain. You say, well, I haven't planted many seeds. The ones you have planted are not in vain. Well, I've planted a lot of seeds. What about that? You're just going to have a bigger harvest. You're just going to get blessed, 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 blessed. Sow in the morning, sow in the evening. Withhold not thine hand. Well, we better hold on to it. We don't know what's going to happen with the stock market. We don't, you know, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, I look at the prophet of God. God fed him in the famine. I don't know where those birds found food. I don't know if there was a Luby's back then. Here's a prophet of God. God said, you go there and I'll feed you there. He didn't say I'll feed you here or I'll feed you over there. He said, I'll feed you there. And when you go to God's there, start looking for good birds. Hallelujah. Those birds are known to eat everything they can find, not bring it to people. But the prophet of God is out there, and guess what? God brings him food to eat. And God gives him a creek, water to drink. God took care of the man of God. God kept him from Jezebel, that old Jezebel spirit. She's looking everywhere for the prophet of God, but he wasn't to be found until it was time to talk. Well, you say, what about that verse? Let's turn to another one over in Mark. Let's go over to Mark, the 4th chapter. I want you just to write it down somewhere. All the seeds I've planted in faith are not in vain. All the seeds I've planted in faith. Well, I've planted so many seeds, and my friends or my relatives or my neighbors seem like they don't plant nothing. That's their problem. I'm talking to you about your blessing. God blesses people that sow seeds. God blesses people that keep on giving. Well, I tithed last year. Excuse me, you've missed a little while. God blesses people that consistently do what God said to do. All right, here we are in the 4th chapter of Mark. Let's look at verse 13 through 20. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then shall you know all parables? How many know Jesus spoke parables, right? Jesus spoke parables. In fact, there were occasions that he really related no truth without speaking a parable. The sower soweth the word. That's me. That's any other teacher, preacher, minister of the gospel. I'm sowing the word. I may mix a little humor with it. We may say it a little differently. But basically what I'm doing up here is not marking time or we could all go home. What I'm saying is important. I am sowing the word. I'm telling you how you can be blessed. I'm telling you how we can bring Jesus back. Scott Hinkle, a soul winner over many years. We were in Dallas the other day at Christ for the Nations. And Scott is asking the world, why are we still here? Explain to me why we are still here. What in the world are we still doing here? Because the last one has not heard. Why hasn't the last one heard? Well, maybe God wants to use you in reaching the last one. The last one may be reached in Uganda. The last one may be reached in Grenada. The last one may be reached in Outreach for Souls. Why are we still here? Listen to me. This world's nuts. This world's crazy. Our politics is messed up. Thank God it's as good as it is. But basically, we're in trouble. Folks, do we understand? We owe our soul to the company store. Our new landlord is China. We basically don't own America anymore, except by faith. I shocked you, didn't I? We're borrowing money like it's going out of style from China. Everything you have is China. My underwear is China. My socks are China. I was trying to find something made in America. I can't find it. It's all made somewhere else. I'm an international preacher. Thank God it's covered up, you know. Thank God for the covering. Thank God for a cover, you know. Probably if you're normal, about half or maybe the majority of what you have was made somewhere else. It's not made in your backyard anymore. It's not made in another state. Well, I'm preaching the word today. The sower sowed the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And then you find your types of soil. Listen to me. There are four types of soil. I'm not going to take my time on preaching that message, which is an awesome message. But there are four kinds of soil in this room today. And every one of them is found in Mark, the fourth chapter. Out of four, there's only one that's good soil, really good soil. And you say, well, what about that? Check yourself, and by the grace of God, say, if I'm not the best soil, that's going to change. My stinking thinking's going to change. My lack of attention in church is going to change. My church attendance is going to change. My giving is going to change. My prayer is going to change. It's time for change, folks. It's time to start acting, looking, smelling, walking, looking, witnessing like Jesus. Amen. It's time for us to stop making excuses for our humanity. I want to be like Jesus. An old quartet song of years ago. I heard someone singing it the other day. I want to be more like Jesus every day. And you know, that is so true. All right? There's wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. See, this is what spooks a preacher. I'm preaching something right now that somebody's already tuned out. He said, I thought he's going somewhere. Smells to me like he's talking about money. No, I'm not receiving an offering. We will receive tithe and offerings. But you hear the word. And while you're hearing the word, you're making out your grocery list. While you're hearing the word, you're trying to figure out, how can I get two golf games in this afternoon? You know, while I'm hearing the word, what about this? What about that? I'm not being honored. I'm not being mean. I am just on a hoot. It's time to start putting God first, folks. We got to start putting God first. First. We're going to be out of here. We could be out of here today. And when we're out of here, the last soul has been won. The last offering has been given. The last prayer has been prayed. The last Sunday opportunity to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's gone. Sure, we're in heaven and we'll worship Him throughout eternity. But I'll tell you what, I want to go out in a blaze of glory. I said, I want to leave this earth in a blaze of glory. I want to leave with the afterburner on. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to smoke it going off the runway. Hallelujah. I don't want to just barely. Are we going to get off the runway? Oh, God. Overload. Oh, man. Help me, Lord. Oh, I'm overloaded. A plane overloaded will not take off. Pilots, help me. Laurie, pray for me. A plane overloaded will not take off and probably will go down. That's why they always check out the weight distribution, whether it's Australia or Africa or New Zealand or wherever. They're always checking the weight because the weight ratio has to be right. That's just part of the way a plane operates, and it's true in a Cessna or anything else. Man, this is, I've been doing some of the most unusual preaching. Here, God. I'm doing good to keep up with me right now. I'll tell you, it's time to get rid of the overload. It's time to get rid of the overload. It's time to get rid of what is not important. And make the main thing the main thing. The main thing the main thing. Oh, God, wake us up. Shake us up. Help us up, Lord. Help Calvary Cathedral International. Help its pastor, Bob Nichols. Oh, God, that we do the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. We're not singing to impress you because of our great ability. We're not trying to preach to you to show you our great ability to speak or preach or teach. We're here to lift up Jesus. This whole morning is about Jesus and getting people born again, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's what it's all about. The main thing is the main thing. Got to hurry. Well, there's the wayside. There's the wayside. I really am taking a little extra time. These are they likewise which they're sown on stony ground, who when they've heard the word immediately believe it with gladness. Woo! That's the greatest message, Pastor, I've ever heard in my life. I've been around churches for all these years and I've never heard a message like that. Oh, Pastor, I just can't believe there's a church like this in America. I can't believe there's a pastor's wife like your wife. I just can't believe there's a guy like you who's been hanging out 50 years. You're doing all the, that's the most wonderful thing in the world. But they have no root. No root. No root. No fruit. It's all froth and foam. Bubblehead. It's wonderful. Wonderful. It's great. Just wonderful. But they have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Offense is the legal drug of the charismatic community. You can be offended because you deserve it. You can be offended because someone did it to you. We've always got a reason for things. The greatest revival in the Metroplex would be for everybody that's offended to get themselves back wherever they should be. You know what would bring revival to every church in the Metroplex for people that have gotten offended to have the guts, the spiritual guts, come to a platform? You see, they all sneak off. They all sneak off, and it's not me, it's somebody else. Just come up here and maybe just weeping, say, you know, I want to ask forgiveness of this congregation. I've spoken against the pastor. I've spoken against the church. I've spoken against the work of God. And I want to prove that I'm sincere. If you let me come back, I'm going to be the best church member this church is there. I'm waiting for some of that. There's always a reason for me being offended, you being offended, for us being offended. There's no reason for us to be offended. My God, have mercy. Jesus is coming soon. The coming of the Lord is near. And you don't build mega churches with messages like this either. Amen. Well, these are those that are sown among thorns, and such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the cares of this world. What? Cares of this world. Your relatives can keep you out of heaven. Your hobbies can keep. There's nothing wrong with your relatives if they're the right kind of relatives, or if you take them right. But your hobbies can keep you out of heaven. There's all kind of things that keep us preoccupied to where God said, what? Seemed like I heard him in the distance. Lord, what were you trying to tell me a year ago? Well, it's too late now. The opportunity is missed. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, it chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. These are those that are sown on good ground. Whew. Such as hear the word, that's the start, receive the word they hear. They receive the word they hear. They hear the word, they receive the word, and they bring forth fruit. Pastor, you watch my smoke, I'm going to do something for God, and they do it. I'm a real stickler for listening to people and what they say and seeing how it comes out. The only way I know to judge something is by fruit. You told me this, you told me that, you told me this, you told me that. If you can't do it, I understand that. There's things I've said I was going to do that I couldn't do, that I wanted to do, that I purposed to do. But I expressed that. I wanted to. I'm sorry, but I'll make it up in another way. Bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Someone said, I don't believe in that 100-fold. Well, I'm sorry. Tear your Bible up. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Oh, my. Some 30, some 60, some 100. What I'm trying to tell you, you see, church is a co-op opportunity to reap, to help. It goes to the Luke 5 thing of partners catch more fish. You remember when Jesus said, Simon, I need your boat. Simon let him have his boat. He gave a teaching out of the boat. It went across the water. That was the PA system of that day and time. And then he said, launch out into the deep. We're going to catch fish. And Peter said, you're a good preacher, but you don't understand fish. We fished all night and we've caught nothing. Hey, church, listen to me. There's times I've fished all night and caught nothing. It's frustrating. I'm spiritualizing now. Amen. I have friends that when they go out, fish jump on an empty hook. I can load mine down with the latest and the greatest, and they just look at it and swim off somewhere else. But I'm telling you, it's time that we realize that when we say, Lord, I'm tired, I'm sick and tired of nothing, not enough, falling short. But Jesus said, do it again. Don't be weary in well-doing. We've all fired a blank. We've all had one of those days. And so they went out and it said the boat began to sink, but it didn't sink. You know that, of course, they got back to shore with their fish. But what happened was there was another boat, and here's the thing about it. Somebody's always watching your boat. That's why it's so important how you look, how you talk, what you produce. Somebody's watching your boat, whether you realize it or not. You're the only boat someone knows exists on the entire lake. You're the only boat. And there was another boat. Why was it there? I don't know. Why is it out there? The teaching's over. They're going fishing. Everybody knows we've caught no fish all night, but the boat was there. Somebody had faith. And they beckoned to their partners. And if there's one word that churches have let slip through the net, is the word partners. Your best, your strongest partnership is your tithe and offerings with the local church where you know. Hey, Field Ministries are some of my very best friends, and we've been out helping, encouraging people to support TBN, and I would support you do what God tells you to do about anything. But our tithe belongs in our local church. And the problem is there's just so many pieces of pie, and churches are hurting. Churches are hurting. Whether things like we've gone through here, we don't have a mailing list all over America. We need some outstanding giving this morning. We really do. Can you imagine? I'm not going to dwell on that, but there it is. But they beckon to their partners. It's so good to have a partner. Because when their boat got full, partner, come on over. And both ships prove the fact that partners catch more fish. I'm the only preacher in the world that I've ever heard make that statement. And since I've been preaching it on radio and television and different parts of the world, I'm beginning to hear it. Because when preachers hear something they know is so right that you know it's right, they start preaching it. We all do. Praise God. Partners catch more fish. Musicians, anointed we can catch more fish together. It's not just my voice, but it's the blending of all the other voices. Praise be unto God. Now you say, where are you going with all this? I want you to know that your seed is not in vain. I want you to know that your seed, you say, man, we just gave a big chunk of something to, you know, the other day when you had that special thing, and you're still chewing your cud because you wish you hadn't given it. Now cut loose and just get your faith back on that thing. The only way that's going to work is to mix it with faith. The only way your tithing's going to work is mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. And I was just thinking, with all the needs that are in our world today, yet there were empty boats and idle nets in Luke chapter 5. What America needs most is Jesus. Jesus entered Simon's boat. And when he entered Simon's boat, he caught more fish. He caught the maximum capacity of that fish. Ho, ho. You know, there are so many things before me. Honest to goodness, I have 6 hours of things before me this morning. Oh, the power of one person. Don't you ever say, I'm not important in this church. Don't say, well, they've called so-and-so's name 14 times you've been counting. And they've never called my name. Didn't even shake my hand. If it took time to shake everybody's hand, then church would be over by the time I got up to the platform. I mean, there's just a limit that you can do certain things. Yet in my heart, I'd like to have a cup of coffee and shake hands with everyone. But here's some of the things that God brought to me. Some of the ones in the Word of God that made a difference. You know, I think in this church, I want to say thank you, Dr. Barney Stumbo and Bess. You've believed in us all these years. You've believed in us all these. When I say they've believed in us, they've seen my best, they've seen my worst, but they love me and they keep praying for me and keep encouraging me. No preacher's perfect. No pastor's perfect. None of us do everything perfectly. I thank God for V. Forrester, who stood downtown in a very crisis time in our church. And I was sweating blood. I mean, it was something had to give. And V walks up. She was a hairdresser, turned her garage into a ladies, you know, dress, ladies hair salon, beauty salon, yeah. And she had a little business there. But V walked up to the front and she said, "All right, you men." She said, "Where are the men in this house?" She said, "I don't make a lot of money, but I've got a $1,000 check here. Now you men get with it and get up there and help this preacher. We got to get this church going forward." One woman came up. One woman, V. Forrester, came up. She's in heaven right now, probably giggling about that. I'll tell you, there are people There are heroes that have gone on to be. That's why we got to raise up some. We got to raise up some more heroes around here. Got to raise up some more heroes, some more Mary Lee Greggs. Oh, that'll do whatever it takes to see the work of God go forward. So I just thought of that. I thought of Maxine Swanner, her little Impala Chevy. She didn't know the capacity was 6, so she'd come in with 12. I mean, when Maxine came on the parking lot, the back bumper was hubbing it. And when the door opened, it looked like, you ever see those clown cars in circuses? You know, you open the door and they just keep coming out. She'd go by and pick up every person she could. She said, Pastor, I want to do everything I can to help fill the house of God. Boy, she had one of those big Impalas, you know. You still see some of them on the road today. Chevy Impala. Well, she opened the door, man. I mean, they'd come from everywhere. Came up. I'll tell you, one morning I was receiving an offering for something, and she came up and she said, Pastor, God just spoke to me to give my, I'm not preaching this, I'm telling this. Do you understand what I mean? She said, God spoke to me to give my savings. Well, her savings was $2,600 up, something like that. And I said, Maxine, you're a widow, your husband's dead, and he worked for the railroad, and he's gone, and I know things, because she had asked me to believe God with her on several occasions. And I said, I can't receive that. She said, don't you believe what you preach, Pastor? I'm going to tell you, there's nothing stronger than a woman with a made-up mind. Don't you believe what you preach? And I said, but yeah. Humma, humma, humma. She said, don't you steal my blessing. And man, I took that, and I tell you, I went before God in the prayer room. I said, God, if you ever blessed anybody, God, if you ever did anything big time on this earth, bless Maxine Swanger. You know, about 30 days later, she came up and she said, well, I thought you ought to know, Pastor. Said, one of my husband's railroad friends came by and said, have you heard about the new benefits? And the new benefits just increased her monthly ante up about $2,000 a month and gave her several $1,000 blessing. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Can't outgive God. And then, in a sweet way, not a, she said, see? I'm telling you, my Lord makes you feel about that high. I was thinking about Wayne Cooper. I still see Brother Wayne around here. He was one of two men in our very first service over 50 years ago. Still with us, Brother Wayne. We love you and appreciate you. I just thinking about it. Amen. I was just thinking about George Forrester. He said, Pastor, he said, God's changed my life. He said, I've been through so much hell. He said, I've been through unhappy marriages. I've been through this. I've gone through this with my children. And he said, this church has changed my life. He said, I'm a different man. He drove in from Granbury. He'd drive in several times a week, and then he took over the morning prayer meeting for a while, and he stopped to get gas at QT and locked his Ford truck up, and he couldn't get back in. He just got a hammer and knocked the wind out. He said, prayer meeting's more important than getting my keys. Someone said, we'll get you a Slim Jim and get this door. No, he said, I told my pastor I'd be there, knock the wind out with a hammer. And when he told the glass man all about it, he said, man, anybody that'll do that, the wind is free on me. Hallelujah. That's the kind of people this church has been built on. It's the kind of people that just won't quit, won't quit. I think of Carlton Ware. God sent him in, a house mover. One day he came up. We were trying to get all that financing. He said, Preacher, he said, I've been hiding out at the back. You can hide out around the church. You can sit behind two or three people. There's a way you can hide out if you want. He said, I've been watching. He said, I want to look things over. He said, I like what I see. I like what you preach. He said, I want to help you. How can I help you, preacher? And I said, well, you can help us get our financing for our church. He said, where do you bank? And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I've already been in there 3 or 4 times, and that bank says they ain't doing nothing. Do you understand? They're putting all their money with oil and gas. Back in the 80s, all our money with oil and gas. And he said, well, where is it? So I said, well, I guess you can't hurt. So he walks in on Monday morning with this greasy Stetson hat that he used in moving houses, puts it on James Fry's desk, the president of used to be originally bank, put the hat on the desk, and he said, my name is Carlton Ware. And he said, you know, he said, I go to that church, that Bob Nichols down there. He said, yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a good preacher. Haven't heard him preach, but he's a good preacher. And he said, what can I do for you, Mr. Ware? He said, you know, you've had their account long enough. You've been milking this cow long enough. It's time you start feeding this cow. And he laughed. He said, that's what I like, a man with a sense of humor. What do you need? He said, we just need $1.5 million. He said, okay, when do you need it? He came back and told me, I thought he's pulling my leg. I said, I've been in 4 times. See, God uses people. God uses people. God uses people. God even uses unusual people. That's why we all qualify. That's why we all qualify. I just think of the people that God has sent at the right time. I remember D.J. Singletary, president of Tarrant Bank, a good Southern Baptist layman. I'd bought several cars. I'd buy them and fix them up. And in those very financially sparse days, I'd make a little money, pick up on wholesale, slick it up and sell it. And I always paid him back. And I came in. He said, what you need, Pastor? I said, well, I need $1,000. He said, what you going to use it for? I said, well, I'm starting a church down here on Bear Street, just down the street from you. He looked at me and kind of grinned. He said, you know, a preacher starting a church is the worst credit risk in the world, but something tells me you're going to make it. He said, when you need it right now? He said, all right, we'll just take care of that today. I walked in there one day. We had 12 different notes with him. They weren't huge notes, but maybe the pews would come in prematurely, and we got them for half price. And I mean, it was a beehive of activity. I walked in, and I said, well, we need some more money, Mr. Singletary. He said, well, how much you need? I said, whoa, go back and see what we already owe you. He said, I know what you already owe me, but said your name is good and said your character is good and you've always taken care of business. Now, what do you need? And we'll get this going here. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, oh, my soul, son, if you were only Southern Baptist, what I could do for you. If you were only Southern Baptist, because he became president of the Baptist Loan Association over in Dallas. Oh, thank God, thank God. Now, I looked at the word. Do you know the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 23:16 that Jonathan strengthened David's hands? Folks, instead of eyeing one another, we need to get those eyes of love toward one another. David was out in the woods and Jonathan's father, Saul, was trying to kill David. And Jonathan went out into the woods, and Jonathan strengthened David's hands in God. In Job chapter 4, verse 34, one translation said, your words have put men back on their feet again. Do your words knock men down, or do they put them on their feet? I'd be dead if words would kill. Amen. I want to thank God for God's amazing grace, and I appreciate and love my family. It's not only the pastor that goes through things. It's pastors' families and your children, and I thank God for a family that's loved me and stood with us, and they've seen us come through many, many situations. Well, going further over to John 6:9, it was time to feed the multitude. And you know, there's a simple phrase. Listen to it. As they looked around, they said, there's a lad here. There's a lad here. That's in John 6:9. There's a lad here. But all he has is 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Not big fish. What are you going to do with 5,000 people with 2 big fish? Jesus said, that's all I need. I'll tell you, when a boy gives his lunch away, he's serious. We'd fight for lunch, especially when we had those cookies in there, you know, and our little lunch kits, we'd trade this and fight for this and barter for that. There's a lad here. God uses boys and girls. It was going after boys and girls in buses that helped get us on the road back in the post office building years ago. Philip, over in Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40, Philip joined himself to an Ethiopian's chariot. He was second to Eunice. The man had his hand on every dime, nickel, dollar, silver, gold, anything of value in Ethiopia. And he's up there reading the Bible because he's seeking God. And Philip joins himself to the chariot. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I understand? I need someone to explain it to me." One man, one hungry man, one teacher man. One. Not a church service, one. And he joins himself with the church and does such a thorough job, he not only gets him born again, the man says, "Hey, there's water. What prevents us from having a water baptismal service?" By the way, when we talk to inquirers around here, I want to see those baptistry waters get busy. We've been a little slow on this. Praise God. So I've been baptized before. Said, "We'll get you wet again." Praise God. I mean, just. In all seriousness, I want to do what God said to do. So one man, one Ethiopian eunuch. Oh, there was Ananias with Saul in Acts the 9th chapter, verse 10. You remember when Saul, the Christian killer, he was the ISIS guy of years. He was the religious ISIS guy of years ago. Huh? And God appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And he said, "I'm going to send you to a man that's going to teach you what you need to hear." And he said, "I'm not going close to him, Lord. I've heard this man kills people." When God got through with Ananias, when he found out Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, brother Saul, oh, thank God." You know, God will take that adversarial thing out of your spirit and put the love of God in your spirit. My, my. I think of Mary. Oh, she came to Jesus and she had ointment and she kissed his feet and she showed the love of God. This was not a sensual thing. It was a God thing. And everybody was criticizing her because the ointment she poured on Jesus was 1 year's wages. What would you think if somebody came up here this morning, a very average person, and said, "I'm going to give my whole 1 year's wages"? I bet that creates some talk. And that's not what I'm asking, but I'm just saying it happened. And they were all buzzing about it, and even the disciples were flipped out about it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She's anointed me unto my burial." There was not one other person on the face of the earth that anointed Jesus unto the burial, the death, burial, the crucifixion time, except this woman, Mary. She gave her best first. She gave her best up front. Oh, they're just, and there's one more I want to give. In 2 Timothy 1:16, Paul said, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus." I guess I pronounced that right. You find it there, 2 Timothy 1:16. Paul said, "For he oft refreshed me." He oft refreshed me. You know, preachers are human too. We need a little refreshing every once in a while. Kind word. I'll tell you, there's been more kind words spoken the last little while. I don't know. Must be an angel out there stirring up something. I don't know. Thank you for kind things and people remembering things and times when the church made a difference in your life. But he said, "Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." Paul is in jail, prison, with a chain. And they'd let him out probably on good behavior, but where are you going with that chain? But this man was not ashamed of Paul's chain. And when he was in Rome, he even spent time and sought me out, and he found me. It took him some time. You know, doing the work of God takes time. Doing the work of God takes time. I made a sick call one time of a person. Well, I'm not going into all the details of it. But a person that was very unworthy in the natural. Person that doesn't serve God then or now. but it was a time of desperation in their life. I don't have time to explain the circumstances, but that's going to that hospital call cost me $7,000. $7,000. There's one person in this auditorium that's aware of that, and that's absolutely a true story. Cost me $7,000. I was bone weary. I was so tired, and yet I knew there was a soul involved, and I knew there were things involved. It just wasn't the best time to press your body and go beyond. $7,000 for one visit. That's what a pastor is all about. That's what a pastor is all about. We're not hirelings. This is our life. We've given, you know, when someone speaks ugly or kind, unkindly of this, you know, I look at something that for 50 years, all of us have given everything we've got to see this place come to wherever we are. That school next door is one of the greatest miracles in the United States of America. It is. In my estimation, it's the greatest miracle. Lighthouse Television in Uganda is one of the greatest miracles in the entire world. Gary Everett's over there right now. Matt and Lori Crouch have been there all week. Matt was up on a ladder changing lights in our studio over there. He said, you know, I mean, people are all of a sudden discovering Uganda. When we started going to Uganda, honestly, I'd never heard of anybody going to Uganda before. Now that we're going, every time I turn around, someone's going to Uganda, doing this. Thank God for that. Churches are growing. Things are changing. HIV is down. The president's born again. His wife is born again, spirit-filled. But let me show you something. And I want you to, I'll try to bring it to a close after this. We're okay. Back several years ago, we drove to Dallas at the invitation of Bob Tilton, taught in his Bible college over there. I sowed seed in our time of need. Part of those teachings went to Winter Park, Colorado. I didn't know there's anything up there but hippies and Volkswagens and dogs and preachers who went up there to ski every once in a while. We had a little condominium up there many years ago and sold it one of the difficult times of the church. I got a call one day, Mike Magnuson. He said, could you come and hold some meetings in Winter Park? I said, for who? And he told me there was more going on than I realized. So we set up a gospel tent in front of 7-Eleven. And we got a meeting at the Presbyterian Church. And we got a meeting with, there was a full gospel businessmen's group. And there was something, there were about three or four things that we did there. And he said, if you'll come, he said, we'll let you and your wife have 2 weeks in a luxury, a nice condominium. I'll let you drive my 4x4. We'll bless you with an offering. And you give us 5 days and we'll give you 10 days. I said, you got a deal. That was my vacation time anyway. It was hardly less than a year. He called me. He said, we're going to Grenada. I said, we'll partner with you. Went to Grenada when grenades were still exploding at night. The Chinese communists, the Cuban communists were there. Mike and Maureen went to the island of Grenada to marshal and to gather the young people that used to carry machine guns for the communists and preach Jesus to them. That's their original mission. That's why they originally went to Grenada. And then they had to have a piece of property. And one day on the radio, almost as a fluke, I said, we have a desperate need in Grenada. We can buy, I forget how many acres, 10 acres, 8 acres, what it was. Kind of on the top, not a mountain, but on top of a big hill there. And we need money for that. We need $17,000. Well, most people don't send much money to a church radio broadcast. They think the church takes care of it, and so offerings are not like they would be for international type of things. Do you know, so help me God, we got a $17,000 check. And I told our businessman, I said, be sure the check's good, because we've had some faith checks every once in a while, you know. But you know what? That check was good. We bought that property on Grenada, and for about 18 years, that thing, it's amazing how it brought in Gwendolyn, what was her name? The one that climbed that tower, that girl that climbed that tower? She'd climb that tower barefooted. I mean, these Chinese communists, these Cuban communists, they were strong folks. And God used that. Well, guess what? Then he said, God wants us to have a Christian television set. I'm telling you why we're here. I'm not wasting your time. If you've heard the story and you don't like it, just love me and go on anyway. But I'm trying to acquaint us. Why are we here? What's the deal? What's this church all about? Are we just slick copy people? Are we just trying to act religious? No, we're making a difference. And every seed that you've ever planted is important. Every seed that you've ever planted is important. Joe and Becky, you've come to help us upgrade our music. Every seed you've planted is important. I want you to know Pastor Bob Nichols appreciates. I thank you for coming. Amen. We're doing a lot of things behind the scenes so things be better. But you know, one day, Mike Massey, he said, God wants to have a Christian television station on Grenada. From 90 to 100,000 is all that signal could be under. That's not really a big market for television. And I said, Mike, what about that? Who can do that? He said, God showed me how to do it. That man was a quiet giant. He said, Pastor, I can do it, but we got to have help. And I said, I'm going to call our friend, Dr. Paul Crouch in California. We called and said, we've got to have a license. We got the license, and we went on the air, and we're faithful with it. 24 hours a day, most of the programming you could see in this local area, especially the larger broadcast program on the island of Grenada. I had preachers say, what in the world are you doing on television down in Grenada? Now, listen to me, little as much when God is in it. It's not how big the thing is. Is it a God thing? I had people made fun of me, said, what in the world is your church so gung-ho about that television station on the island of Grenada? That's a small market. I mean, that's a dead-end street. But one day, a Ugandan engineer on a business trip came from Uganda to Grenada and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, came out to the studios. And then Mike called me. He said, you've got to come fly down here immediately. This Ugandan wants to meet with us. We met together. He said, you must bring Christian television to Uganda. I said, my Lord, I mean, it seemed like we strained every gut we have to go to Grenada. And he said, I can get you the license. And I called TBN again. And the thing is, of course, we owned the station there, but they supplied the equipment. We couldn't have done it without them, and I guess they couldn't have done it without us. See, partners catch more fish. It's a co-op deal. Partners catch more fish. Partners catch more fish. And so out of the little came the big. From a potential 100,000 market, we go to a potential 21 million people under the signal of Lighthouse Television in Kampala, Uganda. That's why I talk about it a lot, because, folks, it's such a bigger deal than I understand. It's a bigger deal than probably most of us understand. You know, we're here, we're on Sunday morning, kind of a little sleepy, or you know, whatever. But every seed we've planted is important. And I'm going to tell you, when that visit cost me $7,000 personally, and I don't have time to explain it, wouldn't explain it if you asked me, but it was the timing of a thing, and we'll leave it alone. It was costly to me to try to go help somebody, very costly to me. But I tell you, God will be debtor to no man. God will be debtor to no man. And church, I want to salute Calvary Cathedral International. Out of the little came the big. Out of the smaller market of 100,000, we went to a market. And I marveled at the expertise that God gave to Mike. He was a house builder and a condominium builder. He was a Zen Buddhist, and he was into all kind of drugs and stuff. But, Brother Charlie, you don't understand this. God gloriously saved him and changed his life. And he told me one day with tears streaming down his cheeks, he said, Bob, Pastor Bob, he said, I've never been so happy in my life. In fact, he wanted to go ahead and move, and he would have. I want to go ahead and move and run this station here in Uganda. He said, I've never been so happy and so fulfilled in my life. And here we are on top of the highest tower in Uganda, and a lovely, and now I'm noticing, Matt, they just put in a $90,000 piece of equipment that was desperately. You see, we've been running for 17 years. You wear stuff out in 17 years, especially with the high-tech world in which we live. And if any of you have seen TBN lately, they're showing the same things we're showing here, except maybe for the tower. And all of a sudden, we've had to kind of be quiet and low-key about it because we haven't tried to step in front of anybody. We don't want to, you know, cause it, rock the boat in any way. But we're there. We've been there. Calvary Cathedral is there, and you've been there, and you're there, and by the grace of God, we're going to stay there, and we're going to reach our city. We're going to reach the Metroplex in the name of Jesus. This local church has just started to see. We've come through a testing time. We have come through a testing time, and there were those that had no vision for what's going on in this house. God bless them. Let them go on to where they have no vision. That's okay. Amen. Amen. I know we need to remodel. I know we need new pews. I know we need all this. But you know, one thing I've proven about this church is until we get the money, we can get people saved in this church. We can get people healed in this church. We can see revival in this church. And nobody wants to see everything upgraded any more than I do. We need to get new parking lots in. We've made the roof. But you know, stuff costs money. Costs money. And we've had to cut back on some things. So I just, you're sitting in the midst of one of the greatest opportunities. If Jesus tarries, you're sitting in the middle of one of the greatest opportunities in the whole world today. And the best is yet to come. I have good news for you. The harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. Revival is coming. Hallelujah. And I'm not in the mood to make a stupid or a foolish move, but we've had three or four other African nations that would give anything if we do the same thing there that we've done in Kabbalah. Until God says do it, I'm not jumping anywhere. We're not trying to do anything. We're just trying to take care of what God's given us right now. But it's time that we put the emphasis, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I want you folks to believe God with me. Churches aren't run by rich folks. Rich folks always have the money tied up. I've gone to rich folks. They've always got their money tied up, especially when it comes to giving time. Many do. But I'm believing God's going to put some entrepreneurs and some wealthier people and people with better jobs. We've got to, I need a circle of a few guys that if I need $10,000, I can call you and say, I need $10,000 by Tuesday. We have an opportunity for souls. We have an opportunity to reach out for God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Folks, my story is not a sad story. My story is a glorious story. You're sitting in the midst of one of the greatest opportunities in the entire world. Thanks be unto God. Because partners catch more fish. Partners catch more fish. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Paul Crouch told me more than once. He said, Pastor Bob, I've never seen a church step up to the plate like your church has stepped up to the plate. He said, I don't know of a church in the world that stepped up to a plate in Christian television. And I'm not a television guy. I mean, it's not for my television program. It's not for the Bob Nichols television ministry. It's just reaching souls. 24 hours a day, 21 million people under the signal of that blowtorch for God, 50,000 watts. I mean, that's a Channel 5, a Channel 4, Channel 11, Channel 8. I mean, that's a real deal. That's the real deal. And we're part of it. You're part of it. And the best is yet to come. So when I talk about these things, I'm not just blowing smoke and I'm not just trying to waste time. Now, I purposely wanted to just tell you what we're doing and why we're doing and a little bit about it. And it's tithe and offering. We haven't received tithe and offering. And I want you to ask God what he would have you to do. As far as Joe and I, we're going to double our tithe. We're going to double our tithe. We're going to double our tithe on this offering. Praise God. We're going to double our tithe. And we're going to see the goodness of God. Man, I'm telling you, I'm not a good house cat. I'm not a good house cat. I mean, sitting there, I had a 4x4 that I just traded here, 6 weeks ago, and now I've got a 2x2, and I can't get out of my driveway. Dear God. I mean, sitting there looking out that window at all that ice and snow, I'm not a good house cat. I wasn't made to be a house cat. But neither am I a house cat in the church. Praise God, we're not just a sender, we're a goer. We're not just a sender, we're a goer. Hallelujah. And I want to say it again. Not one seed that you've ever planted is in vain. Every seed that you've planted in faith believing, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm not saying how much. You can't give as much as some. And, you know, I mean, the ratio is there. But God's going to, you know, I see so much fluke money spent in the kingdom of God. Folks, I can show you black and white. I mean, I can make you so thrilled. You'll have a private rapture. Show you what we can do and what we are doing. Amen. With what I'm talking about right now. But we got to keep the home fires burning in the midst of it all. Got to keep the home fires burning. And so I can't help those that didn't have the vision. There's folks I thought had the vision of this house. They no more had the vision of this house. In fact, they don't even believe in soul winning. Don't even believe in soul winning. How are you going to build a church on people that don't believe in soul winning? My God. What's the deal? But God's, look, I'm looking around at people that do believe in soul winning. I'm looking around at people that do believe in coming to church. I'm looking around at people that do believe in the fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm looking around and believing God for people that believe in revival, the outpouring of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. I was reading Dr. Paul Crouch's book, the last thing that he wrote, as far as I can see. And I can see time after time after time. If you're growing and if you're going and if you're doing big things for God, we all find ourselves in the same crazy situations. I mean, seems like you're between the devil and the deep blue sea. But God, but God, but God, but a check came through, but a miracle happened, but someone made the difference. Hallelujah. And you know, it's nothing short of a miracle that God, after all these years, has raised up a Christian school that's free of debt. And it costs money to run it. Don't kid yourself on that one. And we have some indebtedness now on the roof, but basically this church, all of our property, our television station in Uganda is debt free. We have a lot to thank God about. There's churches across this nation that have lost their churches because they were head over heels in debt. And then when interest rates go crazy, they can't make the payments. God has watched over this church for 50 years. For 50 years, God has taken care of us. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Only believe, all things are possible. Just do what God tells you to do this morning. There's one offering. I just waited on purpose to do our tithe and offerings at this particular time. I want you to agree with me right now. I want you to agree with me for two things. We're calling people in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I said we're calling people in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We're calling in money from the east, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Oh, God, we're calling in souls. Now, I know we're going to do things differently with Easter. You say, well, that just breaks up all our little family tradition, and I respect that. I come from a family that has a ton of that. But you know what, folks? To see a soul saved, to see a family come to God. I met a little family that we used to bring in on buses over on Berry Street. They said, don't you remember me, Pastor Nichols? Well, people change over 20 years, you know. And they said, we're the Pinto family. Oh, yeah. Said, you sent buses out. We didn't have cars. You kept sending buses out. And our entire family in the greater Fort area is born again. Now they're in churches all over Fort Worth, the Pinto family. Folks, we got seed everywhere. I said, we have seed everywhere. Oh, we have seed everywhere. I believe you're picking up on what I'm trying. How many understand where I'm going this morning? I've just given you a State of the Union report of what your tithes and offerings have accomplished. Hallelujah. Be back tonight. Pastor Don Clower is going to be ministering tonight. He's always a fireball. But I want you to get excited about Calvary Cathedral. Tell people about it. Witness like you've never witnessed before. It's time to, right down here on Scenic Drive. My father-in-law used to have an Appaloosa stud. His name was Cy Tong Key. And every time a mare would walk by, the back of the barn would go up in the air. Pow! I want you to kick the back out of the barn. It's time to kick the back out of the barn. Hallelujah. It's time to say, we're going for Jesus. Hey, well, let's bring our tithe and our offerings to the Lord this morning. Excuse me, I just got fired up this morning.
Oh, possible.
Alma, where did you go? Is Alma still out there? Where is she? What did you tell me just a moment ago?